have you heard about 2012? Is this going to be a year of gloom? Or can you make it the beginning of the best life has to offer? Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to take some notes and sit back and receive some energy healing as Allison and her guests bring you the tools you need to create a welcome change. Now, here is Allison J.K.
Hi, thank you for listening and joining in. Whether it's now, Friday, June 15th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, or it's in the future. I've had an incredible week, lots of amazing sessions with my clients, lots of movement with them, lots of change, and lots of really just floating with the beauty that's in life. So beautiful that if we stick ourselves up with stuck emotions, if we have like anger that we bury and we don't ever speak out to the person, hopefully in a more calm moment, or even in the time when you need to use anger to define boundaries, not an ongoing temper or to anger management kind of anger, but just the kind of defined boundaries that back somebody off of when they're hurting you. So anger, emotions, and when we get stuck in a certain emotion and we stick it in our body, just the sheer fact that in these energy sessions, energy healing sessions, I can help people unwind it, and I can unwind it for myself with my own energy healing on myself. I was saying like midweek to a client, it's just such a beautiful testament to the foundation of what's in our universe. Whoever or whatever created us, the fact that we can clean ourselves, it's such a beautiful testament to the love, the purity, the basic goodness, and the basic sanity that's at the core of our existence. You know, like it's a baby doesn't get born screaming. A baby becomes colicky for a variety of reasons, you know. I mean, they cry when that's their only way to get attention, but, you know, when they need to get fed. But, you know, we're born smiling after that initial blast out of the womb and into the earth plane. And why would we go and nurture our children when they're crying because they've scraped their knee, or they're upset because the pill was stolen by their brother when they were in the sandbox? Because our natural state is of happiness, of lightness, of even bliss. It's such a beautiful statement. And the more that we come out of our mind and it's locked down conclusions, the more that I know in my own personal experience, I've been able to open up to this field of chi or life force that exists in us and in me, in you, in the trees, in the breeze, in the moon, in Saturn, that in Venus that just crossed the sun this past Monday, releasing extraordinary energy. At this point, I'm losing count. It may have actually been 2 Mondays ago. But this life force energy, being able to interact with it, I know that I used to lead middle school boys. These were, at that time, 7th and 8th graders here locally in Tampa, Florida, before I became an international teacher over in Asia. And it was a stress reduction club. And I taught the kids yoga and meditation and Tai Chi and Qigong. And one day I took the boys out, and girls too, but I remember the boys' reaction more than the girls. They were more fascinated by it. I took them out to walk by this certain shrubbery, I think by a fence at a certain part on the school's property outside. And I said, watch this. And as I walked by the bushes, I showed them that the bushes waved, not like a full breeze. I've talked about this before. Not a full breeze like a wind that's part of a hurricane, but just a soft, gentle waving. And they were just like, wow! And I told them how that's the fields interacting. And then I think we were doing Qigong that day. So I was showing them how to reach out to the field and then pull in the chi during the warm-up. But once we start this interaction with the universe, and I've talked about this a bit with access consciousness, what we can bring into our life, it's so much more fluid, so much more in the moment. We're leaving a time that's based on Newtonian physics that is more like stuff solid, and dependable and predictable. And our medicine, our medical system in America is very much based on Newtonian physics, which got founded during, as I've said before, during the Age of Reason, starting a bit back, pre-Renaissance, Age of Reason, picking up and then really going full steam ahead with the Age of Enlightenment, which is also when we were formed as a country, and also when, ironically, the Industrial Age came along. So we've grown up as a country with the Industrial Age, applying Newton physics in our science and in our medicine. That's why we cut things. That's why we hammer away as carpenters when we're doing surgery, with seemingly miraculous surgery with a really cool technology that seemingly saves people's lives in the midst of a trauma. And that's what our medical system is known for, is its ability to really get somebody out of a traumatic situation. Even antibiotics are used for that, if you think about it. You know, you want to get rid of the infection instead of letting it run its course and letting your body do it, so you go and get on antibiotics to stop the pain, so stop the discomfort. And so there is something coming in at the physical level to kill a symptom. And so our medical system is based on this hard, when I say hard, I mean it's physical, it's tangible. You can wrap your hands around it, your brain around it, you can see it. It's also why we like evidence and stuff to be proven before we'll believe in it. We've inherited it from our science and our medicine, and we're moving out of that age now. My book goes into this, and I've had done some reworking actually this week with my book. So I don't have the title name yet, but again, it's supposed to be released out in August, and I go into this quite extensively, helping us to understand the times that we're moving out of, why we were in it, why we needed proof, why we turned to the medicine that we did. And studies have shown, the World Health Organization and Harvard did a study about our healthcare system and worldwide, the global burden of disease, and we ranked quite high, not top, but quite high with that trauma, but we did not rank at all high for our treatment of chronic disease. I was just telling my last client, actually, we were talking about arthritis and calcification, and arthritis is calcium deposits in the joints, and the calcification that happens in joints because of certain mineral imbalances, and that getting created from our water supply having fluoride in it somewhat, and from our diet having too much sugar in it. Sugar becomes, breaks down the complex carbohydrates like the breads and the pasta that's with white enriched flour. It breaks down into sugar, and that sugar will, and proteins will create an acidic environment in our joints, and calcium likes to deposit in joints that are acidic. Living in Asia, there's no mention of arthritis, no expectation of as one gets older, there's arthritis to be expected. There's no doom and gloom prognosis given that declares someone pre-arthritic. A lot of it is our water and what's in our water, and then what's in our food and what's not in our food, and what mineral imbalances we have. And I know with other clients I've helped flush out, this client wasn't coming to me for arthritis. I've helped other clients who have come to me with arthritis flush out with a supplement, an energy healing, the arthritis right out of their system, and then dietary changes. So where we are weaker is dealing with the chronic conditions, dealing with day-to-day life. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about some of the natural mechanisms in the brain, in the mind, the way that works, and then the way that our mind-body connection works to kind of keep us locked in a certain position or level of living, and through that gain some new awareness so you can walk away from listening to this with the understandings needed to move forward with what's going to allow you to become different and have difference in your life without moving to a foreign country to get it, or divorcing to get it, or etc. I actually was saying last week how being a classroom teacher for 12 years at the middle school level for the first 5 and the last 7 at the high school level, how different kids are, their energy is to work with. I was never at the elementary school level. I didn't see myself as an elementary school teacher. And as a matter of fact, even with my 6th graders, when I was in like my 3rd year of teaching, they would ask me, can I use a pen or pencil? I'd be like, whatever you want. I didn't want to be involved in those, you know, mundane decisions. So I was more suited for the playfulness of the middle school level, and then up at the high school level. And they're lighter. They're easier to deal with. There's, after I've been now working, next month will be 2 years. I've been back to the States, having left 2 months before 9/11, being gone for the decade, and returning 2 years ago next month. I've been working with adults for almost that full time. And even while I was in the classroom teaching, I was doing energy healing part-time and coaching as I grew into coaching and then got my PhD as a holistic life coach part-time. But I always had the foundation of the kids. I always had that lightness, that new learning, that, the openness, the expansion energy. And it seems like as adults, after, I don't know what age, but it's like we prefer habit. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We'll get into that in the next segment. But where we are is moving out of a Newtonian physics-based paradigm in our educational system, in our medical system, in our political system, in our banking system, in our economics, the way we do economics. Everything is changing right now because we're moving into a time based on quantum physics. Not that our science is telling us, again, in this era, what we're moving into. It's just a natural way. If you look at how technology itself is a metaphor for more information contained in less space, and how the Bluetooth allows us to talk and look as if we're doing telepathy in a way, we've moved a lot more into consciousness and working with consciousness, with these technological innovations being a metaphor for how much less dense our world has gotten, and also the influence increasingly of the Eastern ancient wisdom, as Krishna Das and I talked about last week. And this time means that there's a lot more openness for change, and it's a lot more fluid. So if your doctor tells you that you're doomed to your discs are degenerative and this chronic back pain is doomed to be a part of you for the rest of your life and sends you away with that prognosis, no, not at all. I have two clients actually who come to me for what was chronic back pain, but which is no longer chronic back pain. There's emotional reasons behind that with the mind-body connection and the chakras. And then there's also retraining the neuronal pathways in that area to not hold the same pattern of thought and emotion that lead to the pain ultimately. So there's been other recent scientific discoveries that we can talk about when we come back that help show just how fluid our time is, and nothing is locked down anymore. Nothing is, your parents have those genes, you have those genes, therefore you're going to end up with that illness. It's just not that way anymore. So we'll come on back after this break. Enjoy it. Cheers.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
We hear about so many techniques for healing, from crystal healing to animal communication and plant and flower essences. These alternative healing methods are being continually studied and can guide us through all aspects of our lives, from relationships to connections and communication. In her program, Adventures in Alternative Healing, host Linda Thomas seeks to explore these modalities through her guest experts and experiences. Tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Within each of us is an inexhaustible source of wisdom aligned with the natural world, with the potential to connect us to the sacred dimensions of life and to guide us to our own highest potential. This source of wisdom is known as self, soul, and consciousness. Every week, host Ray Nobrega guides us on an exploration of our relationship with the natural world through the lens of the shamanic arts. Restoring and deepening our connection with the natural world ignites the spirit within us. Tune in to Self, Soul, and Consciousness, Thursdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Do you ever stop and wonder if there's more to life than what you are experiencing? Do you feel like you deserve to live that life? Of course you should. Tune in to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. Through Regina's life experiences and her guest experts, you can put yourself on the path to holistic self-discovery and the life that you were born to lead. Shining Bright with Regina Sisko is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Create Your Best Life Ever with Allison J.K. We would love to hear from you today. Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com. Now, back to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible?
Hi, welcome back. Okay, so we were just starting to talk a bit about how there is much more room for change now, how stuff's more fluid. I have one client who has a hip replacement, no, pardon me, two knee replacements, and just got a hammer toe surgery. And we have been reprogramming the nerve plexus on the back where the sacrum is. It's basically the second chakra. And I started that a couple of weeks ago, and then we moved into doing it on the front of her at another chakra that seemed more appropriate to her own beliefs and thinking. And she's had new life flushed down in her body, down in the lower extremities. And it's been amazing to watch the change in her life force down in the hips down, and to have her presence more down below the heart chakra, down below in the lower parts of her body. There's another client who came to me with that, the degenerative disc prognosis. And since then, we have been getting rid of her chronic pain. She's also no longer on painkillers, nor is the first one, and is able to stand and walk and for long distances now without the back pain. She's able to be a lot more active now, has gone back to biking, which she loves to do with her family. And all of that has been through dietary changes, through certain supplement use, and then the energy healing and reprogramming of the nerves. So there's been there's two hopeful situations. There's another one, and a third woman who came to me as a ballet dancer and ballroom dancer, a lifetime of it, and she's in her 50s, and severely at this point, severely curved and on top of each other, toes just quite messed up. Went in for surgery 2 months ago on her left foot and got the overlapping second toe off the big toe, pulled off of it, got the whole big corn that ballet dancers frequently get from cramming their feet into those little shoes, shaved off, got a screw put in where the big toe can be manipulated to move back and forth right in that center metatarsus bone where the rest of the other foot bones meet for the toes. The foot bone meets the particular individual toe bones that you can usually see when you look down at your feet. So she was told, she asked the doctor, because right now she can't point the first three toes from the big toe down, and she asked the doctor, after getting the cartilage scraped out of the toes, little screws put in each toe, Emma, can I expect to point these toes, and what kind of usage can I expect? This is a surgeon she's asking this to. And he said, I don't know, everybody's different. Some people can get used back, some people don't. And kind of left it at that. He didn't even give her a suggestion for therapy or a prescription for therapy. I mean, she could have asked for a prescription for physical therapy, but didn't. So I'm using yoga therapy with her toes and energy healing, and we're doing nerve reprogramming and strengthening with the physical exercises, also a little bit of personal training too, so that there's the physical movement and the physical strengthening with the exercising and strengthening of the ankle through the yoga and the personal training, and then there's the energy healing to reprogram the nerves and reignite the nerve endings so that they meet and that they can have a fluidity from the firing up in the brain so that the brain has something to speak to, that they're not dead and down in the foot and down in the nerve plexus at the sacrum. And it works. I've also done this before with a brain tumor, when the brain tumor sat in a certain part of the brain and it had damaged some parts of speech and word retrieval. And then we used energy healing on her. This happened to be my mom, which is a story for another time. And I think of her and I as a we, use the energy healing on those parts of the brain. And this is before the discovery of neuroplasticity came out. We used energy healing on those parts of the brain and then did the actual work over and over again every day with word retrieval exercises and speech therapy. And eventually she got her word retrieval back. So what I was doing without any understanding of neuroplasticity, because it hadn't been proven yet, it actually came along as I was coming out of learning this. I was right there experiencing it in my life with my mother, reprogramming those neurons that I was intending. I was programming the information in the cells. Let me back up for a second. So a plant that has big, beautiful butterflies fluttering by out my window now, the yellow with the big black stripes. I think they're called dragon butterflies. Brilliant. So when a plant has Roundup sprayed on it, the pesticide Roundup, it gets, so here's the subatomic level energy at the most core level, which is information. So the little molecules at the subatomic level of the plant that has had Roundup sprayed on it are wondering, okay, well, how do I grow without, even above and beyond this pesticide and this herbicide sprayed on me? How do I get around? Actually, it's the bacteria I mean to be saying. The bacteria that wants to come in, even with the spraying of the chemical pesticide. So the bacteria says, how can I overcome the pesticide and the herbicide? And eventually it does, and that's, as you all know, the antibiotics needing to get stronger and stronger. So it's what that is an example of is the information seeking of our energy and what energy is at the most subatomic level. And it feels like that when I'm actually working with cells. Cells that are around an injury feel, and I've been able to identify that more and more, different than cancer. They have a feeling to them. And so in the brain tumor cells, what I was doing was I was using the information, and it felt deadened when I went in there, and it basically was, because the nerve endings weren't alive, they weren't active, the cells had been killed from necrotic tissue, from radiation, and from what the brain tumor had pressed on that area and deadened the activity there neurologically. So I was working to put new life in the nerves and in the cells, and say, basically encode at the information level, cells, come on, take on new life. Let's grow some new cells. Let's grow some new healthy cells. And let's get this activity back. And it did. And it worked. Over months. But it eventually worked. Once my mom was on the road to recovery and out of the 3 months doom prognosis the doctors had given her, and then they then ended up calling her a miracle case because it ultimately made the tumor go away. There was no more brain tumor showing up on the MRI. The Indian Western trained doctor looked at me and he said, this is one of the few times I went with my mom and dad to the Western doctors at the local cancer center here. He said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And it's funny because part of one of the energy medicine modalities I use is, and in fact, it was my first one, is Reiki. I'm a Reiki master and have been for, I don't know, like 15 years or so. And Reiki's from India, rediscovered in Japan by Dr. Yusui. So, I just kept that to myself and thought of the irony. And they considered her a miracle case. There were meetings around a round table of oncologists just perplexed at how this had happened. And I left and went back to Asia because I was needing to continue on my path. And neuroplasticity came out within that same year. Neuroplasticity says that once a brain is damaged, it's no longer the old idea that brain damage is permanent. Instead, plastic. It's plastic. It can change. When we say plasticity, it's kind of like what was once thought to be hard is actually changeable, malleable. Not so much as saran wrap or the plastic of bags that we get. But if you think that is movable, it's more movable than what they once thought was solid, which is the thinking from Newtonian physics, which is the bottom line point here. Neuroplasticity is one of the examples of where there is now understanding that we can reprogram and change something that used to be considered and prognosed as unchangeable. So in our brain, we have a reptilian brain, which sits at our brain stem, and that's more our reactive stuff. That's our oldest part of our brain. That's where the autonomic nervous system is. That's where the fight or flight mechanism sits, that, and then down on the adrenals. All of the reflexive, reactive, if you were to associate action, feeling, and thinking to three different areas of our brain, this one is the action part. So it's the and then you can think of reactivity. You know how you're with a certain somebody and they just, like, instantly you're there in that place and you're ready to react because they just put you on edge. That's that reactivity. So that's what's the reptilian brain. That's our oldest brain, our oldest wiring. Coming up from that and kind of unfolding around that is the limbic brain, which is where our emotions sit. And this is now where we start to have a sense of ourselves in combination and in separation of the environment and the people in that environment. So it's where our emotions sit, the limbic system. And we make these assessments on how we fit in or don't fit in based on emotions. That's the limbic brain. That's the feeling brain. That's the old mammalian brain. The new mammalian brain is the neocortex, and it's all that gray tissue that is the one that looks like a walnut, and it's the biggest part of what comprises our brain, and that's the newest, and that contains our higher thinking faculties. That's what develops last, and that's what, when teens are rebelling, they're coming from the first two brains, because the neocortex hasn't fully developed till in between ages 19 and 21. So if you think of what I just said, action, oldest brain, feeling, old mammalian brain, thinking, cognitive brain, language brain, newest brain. So if you think about how we work with ourselves when we want change, we want to be ideally less reactive. We want to have less triggers that get us to overeat, or that get us to get angry, or that get us to fight with the spouse, or that get us to be afraid of money. We want to have less emotional wiring that snap us into that emotion, and we want to come from as much as possible the newest brain. Yeah. So there's some stuff we have to work against. But there's so much support, too. There's so much support. And we'll talk about that next coming on up. Okay. Cheers.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Our noetic reality, or divine knowing, is the source of true empowerment. Look beyond your limiting thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and perceptions. You were born to co-create and experience joy and fulfillment. Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality with host Rebecca Skeel will guide and inspire you each week to live multidimensionally and shift into greater loving and truth. Tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Create Your Best Life Ever with Allison J.K. We would love to hear from you today. Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com. Now, back to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible?
Hi, okay. So, how about being able to change? How about being able to get that new job that you want to get? How about being able to break that pattern with men or with women and getting the ideal partner for you? How about actually having that what you which you desire? That's what we're going to move into now, because by knowing these ways that the human system works and the wiring of us and then how to work with our own wiring, that's awareness needed in order to change. And that word awareness is the key. A lot of the times we try to make changes from this old space. We still have the same habits wired in us. We say yes to dieting, and by day three we're back in old habits. What I love about what I do with the energy healing is that I can get results for people so that they're already in a changed space, so that their being inside of them feels different. They can see and feel the textural difference in themselves so that they know change is possible. That's what we're going for. And that only happens when we're able to either experience energy healing, or we observe ourselves. We realize, you know what? I really don't get happiness from being in this job. I really want that other job that's going to lead to a doubling in salary. And I really want to feel successful financially. I really am done with this lack thing. So why are you so afraid, self? Well, I just have never been able to have what I want, and it's been so hard the last 5 years, and I'm some $500,000 in debt, and I owe this, and I owe that, and everybody around me is talking about how hard money is, and it just feels like. So we got to get out of that feeling tone. How do we do that? There's these set points that we end up in, both from our thinking patterns and then when we think something that causes an emotional reaction. The emotional reaction then feeds with chemicals, with a biochemical response from the neurotransmitters released from the thought. That's a neuronal pathway. That's electrical for the most part, and then it becomes chemical once the neurons are fired across the synaptic gap. Then it becomes chemical, and then that chemical is going to have a release with another neurotransmitter somewhere in the body, depending on the texture of the thoughts. And this is also where the chakra system comes in. If it's a texture of thoughts that are about lack, for example, that's going to go down to first chakra. If it's a texture of thoughts that are about I don't deserve, everybody else is usually smarter than me in the environment, that's going to be third chakra type of stuff. So then you end up in a feeling tone with the chemicals, the feeling, the emotion, the emotional brain. So when there's a charge, that means a belief, instead of just a thought like, wow, I'd like to eat some Mexican tonight. Or, I don't think I can get that job because it's been so bad for the last 5 years, and they're going to know that there's other people out there that are better than me. And that intensity, that's the charge that comes with the belief. And then that loops us. So when we start having that feeling tone, it makes us be predisposed to start thinking that, matching thought to that feeling. And then we end up in the thought, feeling, thought, feeling, thought, feeling. So that our mind and body are in congruence with a gripping that's, oh, I can't go for that new job. So we have these set points that gain momentum. And what we want to do is form new neurological pathways. So we've had some access consciousness awareness raised for us over the last month with Dr. Dane here, following up on the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, and then wonderful Blossom. I love saying your name, Blossom, by the way. And they are presenting to us a way to work with our self-talk that happens in cognitive behavioral psychology and Western psychology, that happens with cognitive analysis within Tibetan Buddhism. And it's a way to address the self-talk, a way to talk back to the self-talk. Then there's meditation itself. For example, Vipassana meditation, that means, or it translates into insight, so sight in, to how we are, to what our thinking is, knowing ourselves, knowing our self-talk well enough to then pull up off of it. And this is where the new neurological wiring happens. Well, you know what? I'll never get out of this level of income and debt and lack if I don't try. This job is double the salary. I do have this skill and this skill and this talent and this great job reference and had that great supervisory role there and that job. And now you feel the different tone. So it's a muscle, as I've said in other shows too, like that bicep when we're lifting those repetitive dumbbell curls or those repetitive bicep curls, and we're doing it over and over again, and you know, we have to have music and a buddy with us so that we don't get quite so bored because it's so boring. It's that kind of repetitive over and over again. But no, I deserve this. No, I want this. So that shift from the old angst feeling with the lack into the new hopefulness is a reteaching of not only our neurological pathway, so setting a new potential habitual path that gets, it's like you go out into the jungle with a machete and you're clearing the path in front of you with the new thought, with the new way of thinking. And you're cutting and you're cutting and you're cutting down the jungle and all the greens, and you're getting, you know, a little bit cut in the face with the sharpness of some of the branches. But the next time you go through that same jungle, the path is easier to walk down. You're still clomping on some grass and some bushes, hurting it, but you're still doing it anyway because it's such a dense jungle. And the third time you go down it, it's been trodden down by the feet, wearing it down from being traveled on. Our neurological pathways are the same thing. It gets easy. That's also why we end up in the habitual thinking patterns, because it gets easier the more we think of something. Literally neuronal pathways. The more traveled they are, the more easy it is for us to get down them. Then there's the working with the emotions and wanting to discharge the emotional charge behind a belief. That then brings in, from my experience, more meditation work rather than the active self-observation, developing the observer with the capital O, as is said in the meditation tradition, or as Eckhart Tolle talks about in The Power of Now, developing the observer. Or it's called mindfulness in meditation in the West, known as off-the-mat meditation, mindful observance of our self-thoughts, our self-talk, our thinking. And then pulling us off of a thought and onto a more preferred thought in action throughout our day. Then to release the emotional charge, to disassociate fear with our money situation, that's a bit different. We need to start working with the subconscious at that point, which happens through meditation. Over and over again, just coming back to a calmer physiological state. So we come off of the thought and back to the breath. Off of the thought and back to the breath. And that calms our physiological state. And as we sit in the meditation longer, we're able to lower our brain waves, which doesn't allow us to get into an emotionally charged state such as fear as easily. So we end up at a more calm beats per minute physiological level. My beats per minute, it's funny, as the years have gone on with the yoga and qigong and meditation, my initial starting point with my running, my heart rate is much, much, much lower. I remember my first qigong teacher in Thailand telling me that masters of qigong will only have 50 beats per minute, even some down to 30, and that I read later in the personal training work that endurance athletes and elite athletes have beats per minute at about 50, their resting heartbeats. And so I used to sit into meditation first thing in the morning with my heart rate monitor on to see how low I could get myself, and I went down to 50. It's also why you feel me at a different level of I kind of exist in theta brainwave state and alpha. I don't really go into beta brainwave state. And in beta brainwave state, it's a more active hyper brainwave state because your mind is more cognitive and you're doing the cognitive thing and you're thinking and you're wondering and you're figuring out and you're labeling stuff and you're judging stuff and you're concluding stuff so that way you can do your job, what you have to do for work, and that way you can earn your money, and that way you can live on the surface of life, and that way you can go have drinks with your friends after work, and that way you can then go watch that movie, and that way you can buy that new thing because you're living on the surface of life and you're not really slowing down. Beta brainwave state, totally overstated or not. Because sometimes people's systems and their cells feel that sped up to me when they come into me and they're living at that level of stimulus. So by taking ourselves out of a beta brainwave state, which is the everyday active cognitive mind brainwave state, and sitting in a daily meditation practice, it naturally pulls us into at least alpha and eventually theta. Another way to deal with the cutting of the connection that our emotions can latch onto a thought with fear, like the fear of lack, for example, is with the theta healing. I love having a tool that gets at subconscious beliefs because you know those times, like even, so it will speed up the results really. Without going into that story I was just about to go into, because you guys know it. It'll get to the core of the block of why you seem to be repeating that pattern with your body weight, or why you seem to be repeating that pattern with the type of job you don't allow yourself to go for, but that the type of job you do keep yourself in, with the type of partner that you don't seem to move beyond into a better partner. These are subconscious level beliefs, and we've talked a fair amount about subconscious programming on other shows when we have Brent Phillips on for that Theta Healing show. And we can, with theta healing, we undo subconscious beliefs and we replace them with the opposite. Subconscious programming happens when we're little sponges and our brain is developing from ages 0 to 8-ish, sometimes 0 to 6-ish. And we absorb what people do in the environment around us to be in body. What does mom do? What does dad do? Okay, so how do our brothers and sisters do this here, this thing in the body? Okay, so this is what I need to do in order to get love and attention and fed. Okay, so we learn these games and then we go through the rest of our life with those games programmed until we address them with something like subconscious reprogramming. So we'll walk around as adults and we'll, about, again, 85 to 95% of our daily behaviors are from subconscious programming, whether that's, you know, I've adopted this as a habit for so long I don't even have to think about it, like driving. Or remember, you had to first learn to drive and it gets carved out in a pathway. And then once it gets into our memorized, habitually repeated enough sense of knowing, then that goes into the subconscious. So there's so many behaviors at the subconscious level that we've adopted that we're not even checked into anymore, that actually have come from some sort of conclusion we made at some point that we might not even ever have been aware of. So again, we're coming back into self-awareness. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about theta healing and do some. Okay?
All right.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Did you know that your spirituality could actually be fun? That within yourself you have all you need to live a life of harmony and fulfillment? Join the Quantum Crew as they show you how to bring more joy and excitement in your spiritual life. Holly, Apollo, and Coulter will give you the keys to living a life rich in spirituality, love, and wonder. We are living in very exciting times. Tune in to the Quantum Crew, heard live every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Is there a difference between dream work and intuition? The relationship is closer than you think. These are mutually supportive concepts. When you dream, your intuition serves as a foreshadow of the future and can bring rapid results through dream analysis. Tune in to The Partnership of Intuition and Dreams with your host, Dr. Marcia Emery. Explore this unique relationship and learn to understand how the symbolism of dreams can be clarified. Listen every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Create Your Best Life Ever with Allison J.K. We would love to hear from you today. Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com. Now, back to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible?
Hi, I'm still dancing. I want to my theme music. As it goes on longer, it becomes even more of a dance song. It's really fun. Really fun to bounce around on the dance floor, too, it seemed like. When I chose it, reminded me of a lot of the raves and outdoor beach parties that we go to in Asia, the all-nighters, that, and then the clubs. Yeah. Happy Friday. Happy Friday! Happy weekend! Why don't we enjoy our day-to-day as much as our weekends? What do we give ourselves on the weekends that we don't give ourselves in our day-to-day? Something to rebel against in the day-to-day? So what if we could create a life that we didn't feel the need to rebel against? What if we could create a life that every day was like a weekend day, that our work, our way that we earned money was not actually entitled work, but it was something that we enjoyed that much? Yes, it is possible. How deep is your conditioning? All right, I want to give you a story to help illustrate the heaviness of the lovely subconscious beliefs we end up with. And let's take a woman who has double D-sized breasts. And she grew up in a family with mom and she was the oldest, and she has mom and dad fighting. And she absorbs that fighting. And she thinks the fighting is because of her. And they take out her anger on her, their anger on her. And so she gets punished. And so she absorbs a training because she's learning something new, learning how the world works on this earth plane. She's wide open, clean slate. She absorbs, I guess I must deserve to be punished. She grows up. She has a boss later on ask her to wear much more loose tops so that she is wearing clothing that basically makes her look like a box so that the boss, female, same gender, doesn't have to look at her breasts. Meanwhile, does another woman with the same size breasts get spoken to? Nope. Because out from behind these big breasts that could walk around not getting noticed is the belief that I deserve to be punished. So you pair that with noticeable breasts and guess what's going to happen? You're going to get more attention. Yeah. All energy. It's all energy, which is our thoughts and emotions. And so that's what the subconscious has in it, as well as what I explained before break with the habituated things we've learned. Like we were talking during break, Dee and I, about Dee's my engineer behind the scenes there. And he and I were talking about throwing pizza in the air, because both of us have done that before as jobs, throwing pizza and watching the wheat gluten stretch out the dough and make it bigger and throw it up in the air and woohoo, and having kids come in and watch. And it was really fun. That was a really fun job. And I did it one summer, I think between my freshman and sophomore year, when I went down to the Cape and lived with a group of girls and had a little house, and we threw keg parties in this little house and just partied the summer away. Really fun. But the kids would come in, and Dee was saying how he would train them how to push the dough and stretch the dough and knead the dough and then get it to the point where you could circle it enough so that it could get thrown in the air and then make it bigger by throwing it up again. And that's learning a new skill, when prior you did not have the wiring for the new skill. So if somebody did that day in and day out, then that would become habituated. Then it would become filed into the subconscious. So we have those, as well as the absorbed programming that runs us day to day, that we're not even aware of the beliefs we have. So that if this girl with the big breasts who thinks she deserves punishment walked into a relationship, maybe the male would punish her, i.e. abuse her. It's this almost, it's like this, every time I work with people on their subconscious beliefs, it's like this little child logic that the front of our brain, our neocortex, as I was talking in the beginning, and even our prefrontal cortex, which is the newer brain, even the fourth brain, and that's really what gets activated when we meditate and we go into higher levels of thinking that's more inclusive, less divisive, less from the ego or the super, it's more transcendental thinking, that's the prefrontal cortex. When I deal with people in the subconscious programming, it's like you can see this little kid logic. And you would never think that way with even your neocortex, the front of the brain, or the prefrontal cortex, because you know better than that. Of course you wouldn't think that way. That's illogical. I've even had this reaction too when I have uncovered some of my subconscious beliefs. So it's not like in a sense, it's almost like we're fighting against ourselves. So this is another area, along with observing ourselves with awareness and pulling off of the old thought and going into a new, more positive thought over and over again with practice. You'll carve out new neurological pathways like neuroplasticity. Your brain, you're teaching the neurons to do something new, to fire a new way. Your body will end up with a different biochemistry. So you'll end up with a different feeling tone in your body. So you'll end up with a different set of emotions. The more you do this, so you'll be changing yourself. Rather than trying to move to a different country, buy a new sports car, or get a divorce, make the changes from the inside, because those are the real enduring ones, right? I mean, that's what leads to the substantial difference in our life experience. So the final suggestion we're working on here is reprogramming the subconscious and dealing with some of the subconscious blocks. And for that, I myself as well, I highly recommend working with somebody like me. On the bottom right of this page, you can see my website. If you go to my healing blog, that has my services page, and you can see and set up an appointment to do a Theta healing with me. I can do it over the phone. I can do it on Skype. Distance is just as effective as in person. I enjoy in person more, though, because I get to have the person do a certain type of muscle testing where the subconscious talks through the body, the way a body moves. It's either a yes or a no. It's really interesting. But still, we can do it long distance, and I do it frequently long distance, and enjoy being able to help people have a flush of new energy in their lives just from the Theta healing. And so we could pull the belief that I can't change. We could pull the belief I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy, I can't. Those are some of the most common beliefs that people have at a general level. But with all of this rewiring, it's opening up new opportunity for change and growth. New patterns of behavior. Genetically, we're not doomed to get our parents' diseases. Epigenetics, a lot of the Bruce Lipton work has opened that up, where we have a potential in our genes, the potential in our DNA, but it doesn't necessarily get flipped on. It only gets flipped on if we live the same kind of environmental lives as our parents did, creating the same internal environment, diet, behaviors, daily choices, habit. So I celebrate you making the choice for yourself to spend the time to listen to this show. I celebrate you wanting newness for yourself. I celebrate your courage. And I celebrate you actually getting change for yourself. In any way, shape, or form. These changes are subtle. Congratulate yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Reward yourself as if you're training a new dog, a dog, new tricks, or a puppy, new tricks. Reward yourself for any little small gain. You deserve it and you need it. And tune in back next week. Have a great weekend. Many blessings. Love and light. Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever, featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today.